as we left off in the previous year, discussing whether or not Machmer Patish applies in the realm of Ochlim. So there were several reasons why we thought that maybe Machmer Patish falls short in terms of Ochlim. If some Machmer were right, it just falls short because finished, because the whole Tzuras and Melacha was only said on Kalim, wasn't said on Ochlim. Then there are others, based on Rashi, who say that Machmer Patish falls short when it comes to the preparation of Ochlim, because Machmer Patish has to take place immediate. Even if you have a kli and it takes some kind of a delayed effect, so you take a barrel and you put it into the kiln in order to strengthen it. So even though it's a kli, but since it takes a few hours for the malacha to happen, so the whole tzuras malacha, the lessons of the malacha, as was practiced in the Mishkan, was literally on the spot. You bang on something on the spot, that's considered to be gemar malacha. That's considered to be machmer patish. Anything else is going to fall short. So we said that notwithstanding several reasons why we thought that maybe Machmer Patish shouldn't apply to Ochlin, there were some who said it does. There was some Acharon who actually learned that's the pshat in the Kali Abisha, when the Mishnah says in the end of Masechah Shabbos, not putting Kali Abisha into Kli Sheni. So we said that was, according to some Acharon, at least based on actual Machmer Patish. So at the end of the Shia we spoke about, so why is it that sometimes Bishuls fall short, and yet we don't find Machmer Patish picks up? Say, for example, Bishul Bachama. So if a person cooks in the sun, so the Mishnah says that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Forget about Bishul. Why shouldn't it be also because of Machmer Patish? So again, one of the two approaches that we said, that there's no Machmer Patish for food, either because intrinsically or because it's time delayed, so that would be fine. But if you go the other route, if you go down the route of the Levush and others who say there really is a Melacha D'oraisa Machmer Patish on foods, even though it takes a while for it to happen, that's all Machmer Patish. So how could we ever be Matar Bishul Bacham? What happened to Machmer Patish? So we quoted from the Shvitz of the Shabbos that maybe that's also Mutter, because it's Shalok HaDerech, the same way that Shalok HaDerech Bishul, it's Shalok HaDerech Machmer Patish. So at the very end of the Shia, so he asked me a question, what kind of a din of Shalok HaDerech is that? Normally Shalok HaDerech results in at least being an Issa D'Rabbanan. Why is this Shalok HaDerech somehow translated to becoming Mutter L'Gamri? So the Eglei Tal is a classic Sefer Nochah Shabbat written by the Sochachov, by the Abnei Nezer. So the Eglei Tal suggests that there are really two different kinds of Shalok HaDerech. He was a Hasidic, but it's a little bit of brisker Torah. There are two dinim, there are two different types of Shalok HaDerech. The Shalok HaDerech where mitam the malacha atzma, so everything really happened normally. It means when you look at the net result, the end result is the same. It's just that from the vantage point of the gavra, things were done in a strange way. So let's say, for example, if I carry something kiliachayat, so instead of putting it into my pocket, I put it onto my arm. At the end of the day, the item got transported to where it has to be. So the safe used to be in the house, now it's in the street. So the result is really the same. It's just that I, as a person, did it in a strange manner. Well, let's say, for example, a person turns on a light. He turns on a light with his elbow. The light's on. The light is not any different than if I would have turned it on with my finger. But I did it in a mashundik way. So that's one type of shalok haderech. That's a shalok haderech mitzad gavra. So whenever there's shalok haderech mitzad gavra, but from the malacha's vantage point, everything is the same. So the Eglei Tal says, although men have Torah that also constitutes Shalok HaDerech, we can begin to understand why Chazal made an Issa D'Rabbanan on that. Because at the end of the day, there really is no change. So that's at least also Min D'Rabbanan. But Shehen came when you have something where Mitama Malach itself is considered to be Shalok HaDerech. It means the end result, you have the item in front of you, is not the same as it was done in a normal fashion. There's something that's nikkel yayin, there's something which is discernible, something recognizable is actually being different. So the Eglei Tal, for technical reasons, doesn't give this example. I'm going to give this example. I think it really highlights the distinction very clearly. Even though the Eglei Tal happens to hold this is not a very good example. Let's say writing. The Mishnah says, if you write with your right hand, so you're chayev. If you write with your left hand, so then you're potter. So writing with your left hand, that you potter, so there, it's obvious. There's something that's discernible. It's clear. It's obvious. It looks different. It looks scribbly. It doesn't look so clear. So based on this yesod, what we're saying, this should have qualified as a second type of a shinoi, which should have translated to become mamish mutter. The reason why the Eglei Tal gets into trouble with this example is because the Mishnah happens to say potter in this one. So this would have been a great example. So we're not learning kosher right now, so we're going to put this on hold for another time, another place. But I think that it highlights the difference between sometimes the result of the malacha is different and sometimes it's the same. So the Eglital claims that whenever the result of the malach itself is different, you look at it and you see, this is just not the same thing. You can tell, you can taste, you can smell, it just is different. So that translates to become mamish mutter. Then it's totally mufkar, then it's completely heptagom, even mid the rabbanon. So the Eglital says that bishul b'chama, he thinks, is closer to the model of a complete and total change. It's not just that you did it in a strange way, not that you as a gavra put it in the sun rather than in the oven, but he says he thinks that metzias wise, food that's cooked in the oven is different than food that's cooked in the sun. It's a different chaloshim, different from the vantage point of the chefza, it's considered to be different. So I remember when I first read this Eglital, so I was thinking to myself, why is it different exactly? The egg's fried and the egg's fried. What is out, what is that? What's the difference? So when I was once saying over the Shia, so somebody who has a better science background than me pointed out that the Eglital was right. The Eglital didn't have a degree in science, but he figured this out. So this person told me that when you cook something in the sun, so they're trying to explain to me that the method of cooking is not the same, that's closer to a microwave model, that the molecules get heated up from inside. Is that true?
Well, the radiation from the sun is...
So that causes the... He was explaining to me that sometimes when you cook something, when you put something in an oven, so it's the heat from the outside that causes it to be cooked, whereas when you use radiation, so that causes the molecules from the inside to become heated. Is that true?
Well, I think like if you put something outside and it wasn't and the sun wasn't shining directly on it, it's not getting heated up necessarily by the air, even though the air is 110 degrees in the desert or something. The rays of the sun are...
Oh, okay. So I don't know, so somewhere between Sakhachev and Tinek, somewhere there's some kind of a science going on here that explains why this is. But so the bottom, that's the answer to the question. The reason why Bishul B'chama is mamish mutter, at least according to those who claim it's manazet still mutter, and it's not even also in the rabbanim, it's a different type of shinui. It's a shinui that the mamish speaks to the chefta, not just to the gav.
So it's mutter le'chila.
Right. Unless you go down the route of Ramayish, who says that everything changes with manazet, because now manazet became normal, because now we have solar heating and microwaves, things like that, so maybe it becomes normal. But if you go down at least in the days of Chazal, it was totally, completely mutter. So getting back to that story in terms of Machmir Patish, we're really trying to figure out, is there any limitation of Machmir Patish? Does Machmir Patish apply to food? So we have three different possibilities. Some Achmarim say, absolutely yes, it's Lavush. And other Achmarim say, no, absolutely not, but for one of two reasons. Some say because this Machmir Patish itself just doesn't lend itself to food and finish, it's only for Kalim. And Rashi, based on Rashi's word, that in theory it could apply to food. If the tikkun would happen immediately, they could apply to food. The only reason why it doesn't apply to food is because it's usually going to be time delayed. Do we have any rayas from the Gemara itself? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Beitz that's going to become hopefully really the main part of our next sugya. The Gemara Maseches Beitz lists off several things that were prohibited in Midrabanan because of mechzek and mesakin, because they resemble machmir patish. They look, in the Minat Torah, they're not real machmir patish, but they resemble machmir patish. So two of the things that were prohibited for this reason is, one of them is tvilas kalim. That's going to be open from the next main sugya. I think the Mamakom's even made it down here, but I don't think we're going to get to it today. And the other is that the rabbanon is to be mafresh trumas and maisras. Because if you think about it, in both of those cases, I can't use the item until I do something. So either I can't eat the fruit until I take off trumas and maisras, or I can't use the kli until I toivel it. So it's almost like, quote unquote, it's broken. So what's the difference between taking a screwdriver and screwing in the leg of the table and being mafresh trumas and maisras, or taking the kli and putting it into the mikvah? But what's the difference? It's a big difference. One is a physical difference, one is a physical tikkun, and one is a halachic tikkun. So that's the reason why the Gemara calls it a mechzek in Misaka. And the Gemara says in Beitza, it's not a real deraisa of machmir patish. It looks like, it smells like it, it smacks of machmir patish. In people's mind, it looks a little bit like machmir patish. Therefore, mid the Rabbanan, they prohibited it. There is a machlekes Rishonim as to what exactly are the parameters of that distinction. Why exactly does it fall short from being a deraisa? So Tosfos writes in Masechta Sukkah that any time you do an action that fixes something, even though you could see the difference, I could see it used to look like this and now it looks like that, but the ramifications of that difference are meaningless in a physical world, so that's considered to be Machmir Patish Derabbanan. And that's what Tosfos writes, that let's say you have a hadas on Sukkos, So it has too many berries on it. So the Mishnah says, if you have more berries than leaves, that das is pasul. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to pluck the berries off on Yontif. If you pluck the berries off and before Yontif, then that das becomes kosher. But if you do that on Yontif, you're not supposed to aim a matin be Yontif. So Tosfos writes, that, and the Gemara says, the reason why aim a matin be Yontif is because of it's like a machmer patish type of halacha. The das was not usable, it was broken, quote unquote, it was pasul. And now you take off the berries, you made it kosher. That's called machmer patish. So Tosfos writes, that's only midirabbanan. Why is it only midirabbanan? So the Chavarim explains, the Cheskinich explains, it's only midirabbanan because it's only halachic consequences. There was nothing wrong with this hadas. If you would have brought it to a flower store with five berries or three berries, it would cost the same. Would get the same price for it. So there's nothing bad about it, nothing broken about the hadas. It's just that Hilchos Lulav dictates that it has to have less berries than leaves. Otherwise, it's not called an afitzavos, whatever the mokar for that din is. So Tosfos writes that when you fix something and the ramifications of your fixing it are only halachic in nature, that's not called machmas batish. Even though you can see the difference, and this hadas has five berries, this hadas has two berries, I can count, I can see physically there is a difference, but the difference is meaningless in the physical world. And the Mordechai in Maseches Sukkah says no. The Mordechai says that would be a deraisa. If you take a das with five berries and you knock down the berries to two berries, and now you changed, you made it kosher, that's called a machmer patish, even on a level of deraisa. So why, if you tovel kalim, that's only midirabbanan? So that's what the Mefarshim explained. Tefilas kalim was one notch below removing the berries. Tefilas kalim, not only is the consequence not nikur, not the consequence, not physical, but it's not even nikur yayin. You can't even tell the difference. If you look at a pot that was toiveled and a pot that wasn't toiveled, unless you have Ruach HaKodesh and you can sense which was kosher or not, so you can't even see a difference. By the hadas, you could see the difference. It's just that the difference is meaningless in the physical world. So that's the machlokes HaRishonim between Tosfos and the Mordechai. What point do you say that something is yes machmer patish deraisa? What point do you say it's only midirabbanan? So everyone agrees if you take a table that's broken and you screw in the leg, that's machmer patish deraisa. That's no question. It's a physical, very real, physical abhaza type of a tikkun. That's the real makor. That's machmer patish deraisa. Everybody agrees if you tovel a kli that's tomei, so that's machmer patish midirabbanan, because you can't even tell. It's not discernible. The machlekes of Rishonim is, if I fix the hadas, because the hadas on the one hand has aspects like the table, like the leg, because it is physically different now. On the other hand, it has characteristics of the tefilas kalim, because the ramifications of what I did really don't make any difference in the physical world. So that's where the Rishonim part ways in terms of where exactly do you draw the line, what's called physical, what's called halachic. But everybody agrees in the case of the pot that it's only midirabbanan. Everybody agrees in the case of the trumas and nisus that's only midirabbanan. So what could we extract from this dindirabbanan? Chazal made a dindirabbanan, don't mafresh trumas and nisus, because it looks like machmer patish. So if you hold that this machmer patish deraisa by foods, there is a concept of machmer patish deraisa, so then this dirabbanan makes a lot of sense. If you would have physically fixed this food, it would have been a deraisa. So then I understand why midirabbanan, they said mechsek and machmer patish is a problem. But if you hold like those achronim, like the Mishnah Berurah, who says that we never heard of machmer patish. Machmer patish on food is a non-starter. So if you hold that machmer patish on food, mamish doesn't exist. So then why did they make up a din d'rabbanan? So it looks like machmer patish. But there's no such thing. Machmer patish doesn't even get off the ground in the realm of foods. Unless one wants to say that once you're in the realm of the rabbanans, once you're in the realm of mechsek and machmer patish, then all the halachic categories fall by the wayside. This is all a chumra midirabbanan. It's all a psychological chumra. It's a chumra midirabbanan that people are going to get confused. So not everybody comes to Kol HaBoker. Not everybody knows that the Mishnah Berurah says that there's no machmer patish in foods. Your average guy thinks, yeah, maybe there is machmer patish in food. And your average person is going to see, oh, the guy was mafresh trumas v'maisos. Oh, he did machmer patish. So people are going to make a mistake. It's not a proof that there exists a halachic concept of machmer patish in foods. All that Gezeirah d'Rabbanan shows us is that, at least in people's minds, there exists such a concept. So at the end of the day, we don't have a real clear picture, is there machmer patish in foods or not? So at the end of the day, we're still left with our three possibilities. Either the answer is an absolute no, that was the Mishnah Berurah, who's convinced that there's no machmer patish, never was, never is, never will, there's no real machmer patish in foods. Then you have others who say that, in theory, you can have machmer patish in foods, if it's immediate. And then you have others who say you can have machmer patish on food even if it's not immediate. Maybe you don't follow that Rashi.
Why do we care what ill-informed people think?
because we have to deal with everybody. So we don't want to lead to a zilzal in Shabbos for anybody. So even though the person may not be so proficient in Chol Shabbos, we want to protect the Chol Shabbos for everybody. So that's what, you know, we're part of a tzibur, so we sometimes have to do things that are for the greater benefit of the klal. So let's say, LaMashallah, I can't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah because there's this one guy who's going to forget that Rosh Hashanah is going to carry the shofar. It's not fair. So the Teretz says that's all.
Okay, so if this is a hadas branch that's full of berries, right? You're telling me that's a matake. If it's only got two berries on it, that's okay. So somebody who's ill-informed is going to say the same thing. Right.
You know, again, so Chazal have to, you know, size up each case and see, is this really a concern, not a concern? You're right. You have to try to figure. That's what Chazal did most of the days. That's what they sat in the base of Nedlish, because they're trying to figure out how to make your din and draw button when you wait. No, it's not such a simple job. It takes up most of the day. Are there any other applications of Makom HaPatish, strange applications that we wouldn't have necessarily associated with Makom HaPatish? So there is the eighth of the Ramah Kamos. Ram Ruch Shabbos for Akira Lach Yud Zayin.
What are the cases like Makom HaPatish by Ochalev?
Means let's say you have a food that wouldn't have been edible otherwise and falls short in terms of Bishul. Let's say I take this very, very salty food and I put it into the hot water, so I couldn't have labeled it as Bishul, but maybe I could still call it Makom HaPatish. Or maybe even if I don't put it into hot water, into cold water. So some Rishonim say you have a piece of food that's so salty it's impossible to eat. The only way to eat it is to throw out the cold water and get all the salt off. So you were just Makom HaPatish. You just made something that was not usable into usable. That's Makom HaPatish.
Peeling a banana.
No, I wouldn't say the banana is not. And it wasn't only misak in the banana. There was something blocking me from getting to the banana. Let's say I have a chair that's inside a room with the door's locked. So I can't get to the chair. So when you say I opened the door, so now I got the chair. So I fixed the chair. No, the chair was there. So the banana was also. The banana was good. It was just something.
It's like cracking a walnut.
Right. I mean, there may be other malachas involved. Dosh and Bora. You have to pick up other malachas. But in terms of Makom HaPatish, I wouldn't call that.
Just the case of the barrel. Putting the barrel in the oven on Shabbos. We said you wouldn't be chayv for Makom
HaPatish. So Rashi claimed that. Right? Rashi
you
said.
You would be chayv for Bishul?
Yeah, there's Bishul on non-foods, yeah. So in the 8th of the Rambam comes, the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Zayin, HaMefesh Chin B'Shabbos, if a person tries to open up a boil on Shabbos, K'dei L'Harchiv Pi HaMakah, the goal is to open it up, to widen the opening, K'derach She'arofin Osin, that's what the doctors do, She'miskavrin B'Refuah, they do that for medical reasons, L'Harchiv Pi HaMakah, to make it wider. Why do they do that? That was the answer I didn't want to hear. Okay? So, Hareza Chayav, Mishum Makom HaPatish. So the Rambam says that if you do it for that purpose, then you Chayav Mishum Makom HaPatish. Zuzui Malachas HaRoife. That's considered to be the normal thing that a doctor does. V'mifisa L'hotzi V'mena HaLeicha Shabbat Reza Mutter. But if the only reason why you're doing it is just to drain out the pus, so then that's okay. That's considered to be mutter. So now can you answer my question again? So what is there any other reason why you would do it besides to drain out the pus?
You know, sometimes you want it to heal better. Like there's no pus there, but
if you air it out, yeah. There's a concept of not being so, closed and like letting bacteria grow.
So that's exactly what the Rambam told me. Very good. That's the Rambam says. So the Rambam says that if you're doing it just to get the pus out, so we consider that to be. The Rambam says, Mamish Mutter. Why is that Mutter? So it's a quoting from the Gemara. So most of the Rishab Lim Shah in the Gemara is that even though I did make the hole, so I did do the quote-unquote Makom HaPatish, but that's what's called the Malach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufa, that I'm doing it almost for something external. The same way the Mishnah says, if a person carries out a dead body, he doesn't want to use the body, he wants to remove the body, so that's not considered to be a derai. So that's only a Malach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufa. And in the case of the Makom, in the case of the guy who's painful, so they want to open it up to alleviate the pain a little bit, so that's called the Malach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufa Tzarech, to remove Tzar, that translates to become Mutter.
So what if our teenage daughters want to pop their acne pimples?
Oh, okay, right, that's exactly, that's Mamish in the example.
So, segregation.
Well, so if you're doing it lahotzi lecha, if the whole goal is not because you want to open pimples, so to speak, you just want to get rid of the pus, so that lechar should be mutter if it's a makom tzar. Now, tzar gadol.
Psychological tzar.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question because that's a big question. That's a big machlokes. Is a psychological tzar considered to be? We usually assume that degree of psychological tzar, probably not. You know, when you have some very, very real pressing, if a person can become, physically sick from a psychological issue, so then maybe that's called a makom choli, a makom tzar or something, but just have, you know, having a little nervous about what they look like, I don't know whether I would be willing to be matzah based on that. But the reason why this is mutter according to most Rishonim is because it's malach shen tzrich legufa. The problem is the Rambam can't be saying that, because the Rambam happens to hold malach shen tzrich legufa is chayev. So the Rambam has a different reason, so there's a chayev about it, not for now. But I just want to get back to the part that we want. So the Rambam described that the person who's doing it, not just to get out the pas, but the person who's doing it because of malachas harofei, so the Rambam says, that's a malacha d'araisa, and the Rambam called it malacha of macha b'patish. So the Raivit on the spot says, v'zui malachas, amr avram nuscha harina malachas boina. So says the Raivit, it's usher, but you got the wrong malacha. It means, again, not for the person who's doing it to remove the pus. The person is trying to make that hole to open it up. So says the Raivit, malacha boina it is, malacha macha b'patish is not. Boina. Boina. What are you building? What is that? What's the building? So the building is on the person. It means, let's say I would have a wall, and I want to bang in a hole in the wall to use that hole to hang a picture or something. So the Gemara says, Beferish, that's a malacha d'araisa of bona. The bona is not just when I take a brick and connect it to the structure, but if I have a physical structure and I start to be misakin that structure, that building, so now I have a hole. Before I didn't have a hole, now I have a hole, the hole serving a purpose. That's called bona d'araisa. But what does that have to do with a person? So this, the Ravid is referring to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says that the Malacha Bain applies to people also. The example, actually, that the Gemara says is that let's say a person braids the hair on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, braiding your hair, that's called Baina. Why is it called Baina? Because a person is considered to be a Binyan. Where does it say that? Vayiven Hashem Elokim. The Torah describes the building of Chava as our building, as our structure. So a person has a shame binyan on them, and therefore braiding hair becomes a potential malacha d'araisa. Just this week, somebody asked me a shayla, a little kid asked me a shayla, whether they're allowed to braid the hair on their dolls on Shabbos, because they learned in school they're not allowed to braid the hair on Shabbos. They want to know, what about the dolls? So I said, the doll's not really a binyan. It's a fascinating shayla. The doll's not really a binyan. So it's hard to say that that's asa. But in a person, it's asa. So the Ravid says that the Rambam is the wrong malacha. Bone it is, but makom patish it's not. Why is it not makom patish? So we take a look at the ninth of the Rambam Kamos. So the Kesav Mishnah quotes Kasav HaRamach. He quotes from Moshe Karim the Ramach. Teima, my makom patish shaykh b'zeh. V'lo ein zeke my malacha. He says, just the opening up of the hole for the to make the air out of something, he has trouble calling that Kamar Malacha. Havli the Fashion Shum Baina, Kid the Pish Rashi. It's also, we're not saying it's not also, it's Chayev. The Gemara says the Fashion, it's Chayev, but we have the wrong Malacha. So the Rambam held that it was Machmed Pathish, but if you take a look back at Lashon Rambam just for a minute before we stop, so take a look at the Lashon HaRambam, when he presents this as being Machmed Pathish, let's take a little more careful look. So the Rambam says, the Meifish Chin B'Shabbos, Te Lahar Chepi HaMacha, Kederach Sharofen Osin. So the Rambam says, Rofen, the doctors. Shehein miskaven in Berefua. So the Rambam says again, the Lashon Refua. Lachapi Amaka, raise the Chayim Shemakam Padish. Zui Melechas HaRofe. The Rambam said the word Rofe three times. Now, okay. Granted, the Rambam was a doctor, but it's a little bit too much of an emphasis on the medicine over here. I mean, if I was saying to you, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos, because that's what Sofrim do. And if you write on Shabbos, so you did Melechas HaSofer. And if you did Melechas HaSofer, you're chayav for doing Melechas HaSofer. Have a Vashem on Shabbos, because that's what the cooks do. That's not the way the Rambam writes. So it's a very strange Rambam, that the Rambam puts such an emphasis on the Melechas HaRofe. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Tuesday, next year, we'll have to try to figure out, what's the Rambam alluding to? What's the point of this Rambam? The Rambam seems to be telling us a little bit about something about Machma Patish, that somehow Melechas HaRofe is playing a role in determining that this is or is not a Melech. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Tuesday, so we'll see that this is maybe something important here about the very essence of Machma Patish. So next week, we'll continue. And